You're watching No-Go Zone with Henrik.
That's right, everybody. Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here. Another Odin's Day. It is the 17th of April, 2024. Hope you're doing well. Thank you for joining us today. We have a great show lined up as usual, of course. Lots to talk about. We have to talk about this new free speech hero that just dropped, the Jewish author over at NPR that just dropped out. We also have some good news on the front of Mayorkas, despite, of course, invading an entire country with these foreign people and invading army. You will not be held accountable, and you can proceed as usual because they just bailed them out at the Senate. No impeachment. I think both articles of impeachment were just dropped or voted down, I guess that's the correct term, by the Senate. Big surprise. Who would have thunk it? Am I right? Anyways, thank you to Joe for sending the book too. I appreciate that. Norse mythology. Actually, I've not heard of this one. Maybe I should have, but I appreciate the book and the dono as well. Thank you, Joe. What we do is no one's business but ours, he says. Correct, sir. You're 100% correct. Check out the list. Western Warrior just went up on redhousemembers.com. It went up on Odyssey, Locals, and, of course, Subscribestar. $10 a month to support Red Eyes. Sign up over on one of those services, if you will. And, of course, get access to all the good stuff that we do. And, of course, we have some of the best stuff that we do is Western Warrior. So definitely check that out. Well worth it. But, of course, you can also join us for other streams. Like usually Wednesdays we do No Go Zone. We try to, we might have to move that to Thursday, maybe later in the year. We'll see what happens depending on the schedule. But try to do that on Woden's Day. Usually that pans out good. And then, of course, Flashback Friday. We have Nick from Night Nation Review joining us on Friday as well for the stream. So that should be good. Have a guest sitting in with us. And then, of course, I do have a couple of interviews in the pipeline as well. We're going to get a churn out as well. We have some good stuff coming up. All right. Anyway, what else do we have? Do we have some? Oh, yeah, by the way, too. Got to mention that. We do have some hats coming in here soon. What am I doing here? I'm all frazzled here. We do have some hats coming in. We're working on that as we speak. We are going to have some mugs, t-shirts, hats. We might expand. Maybe we'll do some stickers. Maybe we'll do some cool other things. We have some couple of ideas, but I know we're working on some of these right now. So look out for that. We'll let you know, of course, when those are available. What's going on up here today? All right. Anyway, so that's good. That's something in the works, as it were. Let me pause that because otherwise I'll be all thrown off here. Okay. So I thought we could start looking at the Dubai weather. Why not? Talk about the weather is an easy way to slide into some of the topics here today. And apparently they have some floods over there. Not going too well. Dubai left underwater as torrential rains. Millionaire's playground with roads, airport, and shopping mall swamped. That's right. They're actually building as they're exporting some of their worst from their entire region into Europe and America and other Western countries. And, of course, as we're giving them, you know, all this oil money and shit like that because we're not, drilling our own, we're not expanding our own energy production, which we very much could. Not only the U.S., but, like, I've heard there's, like, tons off of, you know, Norway and stuff like that, like oil reserves, but they just don't want to because of climate change. These people don't care. But anyway, so we're giving them all the money. And so, yes, they can pay for these millionaire playgrounds that they got down there now. Let's check out some of the, what do we have? Maybe we have some better footage here, actually. Let me see if we can get this to load. X is not, here we go. So actual footage from the storm in Dubai today. You can see the sky turn green. So people are immediately like, kind of, oh, weather modification. So apparently, I guess it's when hail primarily comes in, you can get these kinds of refractions, I guess, of light, and it can turn green. But let's take a look at it anyway. Yeah, look when it comes in. Now, they are doing some shit. Don't get me wrong. They are seeding. They are doing cloud seeding in the UAE, in Dubai, in some of these other places. And people are saying that could be part of the reason, at least, why this happens. But as you can see, it's some kind of, I don't know, was it Arrakis that's green? Which one was it? Because, of course, Dune, that's just Islam in space, right? So they're finally getting their Kwisatz Haderach down there now when rain is finally returning back to the desert, as it were.
That is the storms. Time lapse. That's just how much lightning is happening.
Crazy. Yeah.
So this is not a time lapse. This is real. I've never seen this much lightning in my life before. This is crazy.
Yeah, I didn't say anybody is leaving Dubai. I'm saying they're leaving from that part of the world, the Middle East, the Arabian Peninsula, further in Asia, and of course then in the Middle East, North Africa. That's what I mean with their region, right? They're leaving their region. Many people are exiting that part of the world. And they're, as Israel is expanding their wars together with America, of course, many of them are leaving. I think 37 million refugees have been driven out after the war on terror, and part of that is from that part of the world, from that region. Here we go, some time lapse. Dubai rain and flood today. So obviously they they're very ill-equipped for this, obviously, because they don't get that much rain. I think they got about a year's worth. This was like one in a 20-year lifetime rainstorm or something like that, I believe it was. But they have no like runoff systems or anything like that. They're building a little paradise there. So now, of course, because climate change, right? Is that the reason? Now they're going to get more. So somehow these scientists know that there's just going to be more precipitation now over those parts of the world. Oh, really now? How do you know that? Trouble in millionaire's paradise here. All right, thanks. We got some. We have one more. I think we might have one more. Oh yeah, that's right. Here's from the here's the UAE hit by severe flooding. Dubai's first rain day in over 20 years. Heavy rains flood major highways and disrupt Dubai. Over 4.75 inches of rain recorded, equaling the annual average worst flooding in the region since 1999. All right. Get a full screen on that, please. Dubai Air's going strong. I guess maybe they are still building airplanes that actually can, you know, take a beating. They don't fall apart on the runway. All right. Anyway, we look at a couple more. I think we have a couple more here. From the airplane still. Yeah, so no sewage system, no drainage systems, essentially, anywhere. Because they don't need it normally, right? But apparently, again, scientists, the experts are saying that, you're going to get much more rain. Okay, how do you know? Is it because you're seeding the clouds? It's funny. Let's look at this one first here. Here's a little clue then to what they're doing. Now, is that the reason for this one? I don't know. These are, you can't trust any of these sources, right? But let's not say what they say.
UAE is one of the driest countries on Earth, with an annual rainfall of roughly 120 millimeters. As a result, it has to get creative when it comes to finding solutions for water. In the early 2000s, the UAE started performing regular cloud seeding operations. Cloud seeding is the process of increasing the amount of rain produced from clouds.
Some of these clouds, by nature, you know, sometimes it rains, for example, only 40 to 50% of its rain that processed in the cloud that comes as rainfall. So by these operations, we try to increase this amount by, for example, from 15 to 30%.
So how does it work? It starts here,
that's not
inside
nothing.
The National Center of Meteorology, where a team is constantly monitoring forecasts, looking for potential clouds to seed. The operations only work with cumulus clouds, which are vertical in shape.
Research flight operation, can you read me?
Once they spot a cloud, they radio the pilots, who then take to the air armed with hydroscopic flares filled with a mixture of potassium chloride, sodium chloride, magnesium, and other materials.
Oh, other materials. All right, that sounds about right. We just also put in some other materials. All right, okie dokie then.
Essentially salt. When the plane reaches the right clouds, the pilots release the flares.
These salts basically attracts the moisture and try to make it condense. So it become, these particles becomes nuclei of condensation. And then when these droplets condense, and then they hit, each other, and then they form a bigger droplet that the air cannot hold it any longer than the air. So it forms as rain.
In 2017, the UAE performed 242 cloud seeding operations. The government is confident the operations are increasing the amount of rainfall, but it's difficult to gauge.
So they don't know.
There is no way that you can measure the success rate for each individual cloud. There are no two clouds are the same. And you don't know, for example, before actually you see the clouds.
Well, they will be if you artificially make them, I guess.
To rain by itself or not, and by how much.
The country is also invested in
So they don't know. That's interesting. Keep that in mind.
Research, offering millions of dollars in grant money to innovative researchers and projects.
Bill Gates, better get on that. I mean, of course, in this part of the world, right, or in the West, I guess we should say, they are spraying other things to block sunlight, right? That's one of the ongoing official slash unofficial things that they're doing right now. I forget what combination. Was it some magnesium? Was some salt also? I forget what it was. They've tried a few different combination of things, but there was some, specific. It wasn't aluminum. It wasn't that like obvious. Some people have talked about that. That's what they drop in these some of these chemtrails and shit. I don't know what to make of that. Maybe that's true. I don't know. But the point is that they're going to block sunlight because, of course, why not? When you could play. Gods over the forces in the sky. Why not? You know, kind of thing. Like, obviously. So, was the flooding due to the way UAE does other things, like the way they do their toilets? Is that UAE? Do they do that? Like too much gold, too much nouveau riche? They just kind of turn up the temperature or the heat, and then it just like too much cloud. I don't know. Apparently, they denied it. That they were behind that. UAE government unit denies cloud seeding took place before Dubai floods. And naturally, of course, they would deny this, right? Of course, they would say, even if they were running a program, oh, yeah, it was totally us. Sorry, guys, we didn't mean to. Then it would be shot down and stuff. That's what's so funny when you read these stories, right? I saw a Wired piece here. No, Dubai's floods weren't caused by cloud seeding. Okay, and why? What are the reference? What's the proof for that? Oh, it's because the government said so, right? The UAE's National Center for Meteorology told CNBC it had not seeded any clouds before the storm struck on Tuesday, and they linked to the piece I just showed you. Oh, okay, well, that settles it then. I'm sure no government ever anywhere that would do some dumb, stupid shit would, of course, never go on to deny it afterwards. So maybe this is the point. I guess we would need the sleuth that can actually find the registered airplanes and then see were they actually running it. I don't know. So maybe this is natural or whatnot, but they do go on and they talk about that here in this piece. Oh, because of climate. However, climate change may also be playing a role. As the planet heats up, the complex weather dynamics of the region are shifting and changing in ways that may bring more violent storms. City planners around the world are trying to make their cities spongier to help deal with flash flooding and save money water for drier parts of the year. Instead of using cloud seeding to turn the sky into a sponge, Dubai would be better off trying to turn the city into one. Oh. All right, so anyway, so somehow they know that this is happening. But when man plays, gods of the weather, then it's totally fine. For the most part, yeah, deny it, right? For the most part, just deny it. Say it's not really happening when it's obviously happening, and they're experimenting with it. And of course, next part in the process is to just blame it on climate change. So even if they did drive, transformative weather, they would of course just say, oh, well, they wouldn't say it's natural climate change. Obviously, they would say it's man-made, but because of cars, right? It's because of cars and industry in Western countries. It's not India, it's not China, it's industries in Western countries, as we're going to have to deindustrialize your nation, Goy. It's also tiresome, isn't it? Wonder if is there a set amount of humidity in the air at any given time, and so if they do seed the clouds in this kind of way in those areas, in Dubai or UAE, wherever it is in the world where it's desertification, I assume that would then prevent that from going to the area that normally would get that precipitation when there's enough buildup and there's enough particles in the air to naturally bind around the water molecules so they will continue to attract moisture, and then, of course, you get rainfall. So I assume it's technically stealing it from someone else, right? Isn't that what it is, in a way? They would never admit that. It's kind of like, well, it's over our it's our cloud because it's over our territory. This is kind of how it works, right? Oh, it's fine. We can just douse the entire planet with, like, 5G non-ionizing radiation because, well, we're just going to. What are you going to do about it? We can take that cloud. It's totally fine, right? So they'll probably create, I think that's true then for that reason, right? They will probably create some kind of instability, and maybe that will drive like some crazy ass story. Like, if we don't understand these systems, but have reached a point where we kind of can meddle with them, maybe we shouldn't until we fully understand them, because we don't know what the kind of down the line domino type of consequences of this will be. Many people would say, it's fine. Don't worry about it. But we'll see. We'll see. It's too early to tell. Now, speaking of, transforming, environments, technology, run amok, man playing God. Did you guys see the latest Boston Dynamics? They have a new generation of Atlas robots out. I think this is, pertinent to the topic here. Check this out. Creepy stuff. I have a report on hate speech. You need to come with me. You know it's coming. You just know it's coming. Don't you? You know it's coming, isn't it? This is what they're trying real goddamn hard to squeeze in here now. Before their window closes entirely. They're just an army of like gay Terminator robots. Let me play that again. This is the limbs goes backward around itself and it stands up. So I you need to. Well, you did a hate speech. It's got like a gay lisp on it too. Like, look at that, and it just turns. Ugh, oh my gosh! What is that? Is that some? Unfortunately, one of my oldest sons, because this is how it works, right? They serve you these dumb. I gotta turn off the ability to just like. If you want to watch one YouTube video, you can watch that, but it doesn't recommend anything else. It starts recommending these things. It's something called Siren Head, which the like Generation Alpha kids are into now, which is like kind of disturbed and like deranged. That's what it looks like. It looks like Siren Head. All you need like is some teeth and a tongue sticking out in there. Some horror show for sure. Holy shit. Yeah, look at this. We will be completely immersed by this. Remind me of Frank Herbert, right? Once men turned their thinking over to machines in the hope that this would set them free. But that only permitted other men with machines to enslave them. See how simple that is? Yeah, that's right. So someone else will come in and then just, when they control the robots, because people will say, it's just artificial intelligence. You know what I mean? Oh, AI, it will be totally neutral. And objective, and things will be great. But of course, we know that that's not how it's going to work. We know it's going to be completely the opposite. And then, of course, meanwhile, if you do go out, you will be like policed and like smacked around by these things. But for the most part, you'll be in the pod, and you'll be trying different text combinations of some of your favorite movies, and do like give me Lord of the Rings mixed with kind of in a Matrix type environment with whatever, like to combine this for me and then make this movie, with a storyline and everything in it. And right now it kind of sucks, but it's going to get better and better. And eventually some of these people are going to be completely enslaved by generative AI. In the sense, not the enslaved like that, but the enslaved in the sense that some of these people will never even go outside. They will not even seek any adventure on their own. It will just be an endless supply of kind of whatever you want type of entertainment. Check out this one. Here's The Hobbit, a trailer which is done by Gay-I. And it has this kind of 1950s feel to it. Check this out.
Welcome to the Shire, a land of peace and tranquility, where the hobbits dwell in harmony with nature, far from the troubles of the world. Meet Bilbo Baggins, a hobbit content with his simple life, until an unexpected adventure comes knocking at his door. Joined by the wise wizard Gandalf the Grey and a band of courageous dwarves led by Thorin Oakenshield, Bilbo embarks on a perilous journey to reclaim their homeland from the fearsome dragon Smaug. From the misty forests of Mirkwood to the majestic Lonely Mountain, their quest is fraught with danger and discovery as they face trolls, goblins, and the dark forces that lurk in the shadows. Along the way, Bilbo will discover courage he never knew he possessed, forging friendships that will endure a lifetime and beyond. Join Bilbo Baggins on an unforgettable journey through Middle-earth, where adventure awaits at every turn. The Hobbit, a tale of heroism, heart, and the indomitable spirit of the smallest among us. Coming soon to a theater near you.
I mean, that looks great, right? I want to see that. That's how they get you. It's just going to be terrifying. You're going to be lost in a digital realm completely generated by AI, or you know, at your preference, of course, at your fingertips. Oh, I want to see this today. Who controls AI again? Or Gay-I? Maybe it's turning into Gay-I, I think. I still think that's correct. Yeah, it's getting there, folks. It's getting there. Drum and Bass World says, we didn't do nothing. You talk about the the Saudis or the Dubaians? Is that what you call it? Dubaians. That's especially funny in Swedish. Look, nobody did anything. How about that? We'll do that. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Night Nation Review. I'm convinced these robots are going to be leased by people that will want these damn robots to do their housework soon enough. They will be bought like leasing a car. Convenience is always the bait. You know, there's some days when you're like the most menial, but this is how they get you, though. That's the thing, right? Oh, no, just this thing as well. And oh, just this thing. And I mean, look at technologically already kind of where modernity has led us, right? Too much comfort, too much convenience leads to, of course, you know, less children, more time outside in nature, like all these things. You have all these devices now that you could, it's going to make your life easier. And it's going to be the same with these robots. And, you know, the other, of course, kind of flip side of that is like your blender kind of at this point, I don't think even a smart blender wouldn't like stand up on its feet and like stab you, you know, start running its motor in your face. But these guys can. Who owns them? Who controls them? Who program, like all these questions. Can it be hacked? What happens then? Oh, they have Asimov's three gay laws. So it's like, this is not going to stop anybody. Anyway, good to see you, Night Nation Review. We'll talk to you. We'll see you Friday then. Well, good to have you join in. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Yeah. No, it's control. It's control and servitude, right? That's what it comes down to at the end of the day. Servitude. Going back to the environmental programming here for a little bit too, returning to that because speaking of the Dubai story. Check this out. German minister threatens indefinite driving bans on weekends. Oh, really? No. That sounds fascinating. Tell me more. The ruling coalition has been fighting over legislation that sets out binding climate targets. Here we go again. Agenda 2030. Where is it here? Carbon dioxide emissions is to be achieved by 2030. That's where the robot, I guess, will come in. That's where it comes. Let me go for it. You have, there you go. Look at how it kind of lights up there too. He has some light in the front. Ding. You have too much carbon. Or you are the carbon. How about that? We need to remove, we need to erase you. We need to delete you because you have too much, bye. You have too much carbon going on there. Your carbon body is offensive. Germany's transport minister is threatening to ban driving on weekends to meet climate goals if the ruling coalition does not pass reforms to the Climate Protection Act by July. And remember, we talked about that crazy story out of Switzerland with these old, you know, batikhexa, we call them in Swedish, which is a tie-dye witch that had sued the Swiss government for heat waves, essentially. It's like, oh, you have heat waves? Clearly, this is the government's fault for not doing enough on putting the kibosh on all. Is there a light at the end of this dark tunnel? Could it be that this will drive us out of the comfort zone, and that you see what I'm saying? Are they doing the heavy lifting for us? I don't know. Because at the same time, if they get their way, they'll have all these super advanced robotics and technology and AI and, you know, blockchain, and you're in this sector and you can't exit out of this area without the right, you know, approvals, and it'll be this locked in grid with pods, you know, everywhere and shit. We've talked, it's a bit dystopian, right? And yes, they might kind of like shut down some, you know, industry and stuff like that, but as outsourced anyway, they outsourced that shit, and it's like there's nothing left. I think they're going to try to squeeze us just right, just enough, where we're still comfortable comfortable enough not to revolt. Do you see what I'm saying? Because when you know you begin questioning these things, when they start playing with the bread and the circuses, the cheap calories and the sports ball, like what are you? You're now risking something here. But you know, maybe I've mistaken. Maybe it's because they don't want you to watch sports ball, because then you go out, you get to watch the game. It's still kind of people screaming. Now, just sit home and watch the 1950 Panasonic GAI generated Hobbit version, the latest one that someone just made, and it's available in the cloud for you right now. Maybe that's the way they're going. Just into the pod. You still have plenty of calories, bug juice intravenously. Like the Matrix, I guess. They feed them. They're dead there, right? The fact that the amendment is still not in force leads to considerable legal and factual uncertainties. A liberal politician, and it's a disgrace with that name, right? Volker Wissing wrote in a letter to the parliament group leaders of the coalition. This serves neither the climate nor the reputation of the federal government. A reduction in traffic to help meet climate goals would only be possible through measures that are difficult to communicate to the public, such as comprehensive and indefinite driving bans on Saturdays and Sundays, Wissing added. So, of course, you can go to your job still. But if you want to go out in nature in the weekends, forget about it, okay? Nah. No fun for you. You can sit inside, though. Here's this government-provided VR headset for you. So you can, he feels like this Unreal Engine 7 is out. So, you know, it looks better than reality. I'm telling you, they're going to try. We better get a control of these people. Oust them out of power. We'll be enslaved forever. Holy shit. The federal coalition government made up center-left social democrats and greens and liberal. I mean, again, AFD is the only sensible, reasonable party here. They're the only ones that are talking about the insanity with the climate stuff. They're, of course, decent on immigration as well. They're bringing that up. But they're doing these crazy... I don't think we even covered that. Bjorn Höcke, one of the... I don't think he's... He's not the leader of the party. He's just like a regional leader, I think. I forget who the main leader is now at AFD. But anyway, they're like going after him for like Nazi speech now in Germany. And it was basically saying, like, everything for Germany, or like everything for the nation, or something like that. I'm paraphrasing, something like that. But they're only sensible, decent, thinking people regarding this kind of stuff. As Germany is like deindustrializing itself, right? Going down the tubes, essentially, which again is the plan, right? Total destruction. Germany considers banning weekend driving to meet climate goals. It's just absolutely insane. Christine Anderson, who's the she's part of the AFD as well. She says, as a logical consequence of industrial suicide in Europe, particularly in Germany, affordable electric cars from China are rolling into the EU market. The EU Commission is eliminating the competitiveness of our economy in its green frenzy. Again, that's not a bug. That's a feature. And so they'll have transport still on the weekends. But do you think it's going to be out to your you know, to the lake or out to the, you know, the Baltic Ocean or something? No, of course not. If you're in Germany, not out in nature, not to a park, you know what I mean? Not to the Nordenstjerne. Was that what it was called? North Star? Is that what it's called? Something with star. Great place in Germany. All right. Holy smokes. It's pretty crazy. Okay. We're caught up here. What do we have? Drummond Base World says, hackers constantly break into cloud services like Ring cameras, etc. Imagine when these robots will be on the internet and that starts happening. Well, of course. Again, I think not a bug, a feature. You've seen it in all the dystopian movies that they've told you about. You think that's an accident? They're warning you of sense, right, with those movies. Oh, it'll definitely go bad. So that's in the mass consciousness. When this rolls out, it will go bad, right? That's even if you're, you know, even if you don't think so, that's what will be in the collective unconscious. Robots means bad, right? Kind of thing. Robots will turn on humanity and eat everybody or whatever, kill everyone. And then they roll it out. And then, of course, that's what's going to underline everything. It'll be totally fine. Oh, it turns out it was not fine. Or it's going to be the excuse, right? Oh, someone hacked the robots. We don't know who the bad actor is yet. Well, speaking about hacking and intrusion, I guess, privacy. Good stuff for those in America here. Patriot Act on steroids. FISA bill forces, quote, an enormous range of businesses to act as NSA spies. The FISA bill being ramped through Congress is the biggest expansion of domestic surveillance since the Patriot Act and compel an enormous range of businesses to start acting as NSA spies. Elizabeth Gotain, maybe it is, who has been at the forefront of reporting on the FISA bill, issued a stark warning Monday in a viral thread on Twitter. Snowden joined in and said this is the most important thread you will read this year. Urgent, please read below. We have just days to convince the Senate not to pass a terrifying law that will force U.S. businesses to serve as NSA spies. Let me check. Is this the second one? Let's see what else she says here. Clicking on her thread. Where are we? Oh, it was that one. Okay, there we go. Buried in Section 702, Reauthorization Bill, passed by the House on Friday, is the biggest expansion of domestic surveillance since the Patriot Act. I'll explain how this new power works. Under current law, the government can compel electronic communication service providers that have direct access to communications to assist the NSA in conducting Section 702 surveillance. Oh, great. In practice, that means companies like Verizon and Google must turn over, and they already do this, of course, must turn over the communications of the targets of Section 702 surveillance. The targets must be foreigners overseas, although the communications can and do include communications with Americans. Through a seemingly innocuous change to the definition of electronic communications surveillance provider, an amendment offered by the House Intel Committee leaders and passed by the House vastly expands the universe of entities that can be compelled to assist the NSA. If the bill becomes, and of course they're already doing this, there's already PRISM, there's already, I mean, I've forgotten all the names of them now. The Total Information Awareness Office was a thing for a while, and then they said they have that eye in the pyramid low, and they, it's fine, we scrapped that, you know. And then later, I think, was that prior to Department of Homeland Security or some other agency, I think, roll around later and pick up the mantle for that, by the way. If the bill becomes law, any company or individual that provides any service whatsoever may be forced to assist in NSA surveillance as long as they have access to equipment on which communications are transmitted or stored, such as routers, servers, cell towers, etc. That sweeps in an enormous range of United States businesses that provide Wi-Fi to their customers and therefore have access to equipment on which communications transit. Barbershops, laundromats, fitness centers, hardware stores, dentist offices, the list goes on and on. Well, they need information, you see. To protect you, they just need they just need to spy on everybody. So as crime skyrockets and gets out of control in at least a lot of the big, you know, cities and stuff, and you have terrorism and all these things, you have the perfect excuse. Everyone said, well, do something. You have to stop this. Okay, yeah, we'll spy on everybody. You ready? It also includes commercial landlords that rent out the office spaces where tens of millions of Americans go to work every day. Offices of journalists, lawyers, nonprofits, financial advisors, healthcare providers, and more. And of course, all this information is going to be used, could be used for very good purposes. Because the NSA is totally different than the FBI and the CIA. And they're not as gay as them, by the way. Maybe we'll get to that later. When the amendment was first unveiled, one of the FISA court amici, is that how you pronounce that, took the highly unusual step of sounding a public alarm. Civil liberties advocates noted that the provision would encompass hotels, libraries, and coffee shops. The version HPSCI leaders offered Friday, therefore, exempts hotels, library shops, and coffee shops, plus a handful of other establishments. But as the FISA court amicus promptly pointed out, the vast majority of U.S. businesses remain fair game. The amendment even extends to service providers who come into our homes. House cleaners, plumbers, people performing repairs, and IT service providers have access to laptops and routers inside our homes and could be forced to serve as surrogate spies. Remember hearing stories of, was it they had asked like people that do go into other people's homes to like act as like, can you spy in the, if you see weapons, report them to us and shit like that. Like all this shit is already like happening, you know what I mean? But now it's just like, now it's just the last, like, now they're not even pretending anymore. You know what I mean? Now it's just like, oh, here we go. We're just going to admit all of it. We're just going to spy on everybody as much as we want, and we're going to tell you we're doing it too. None of these people or businesses would be allowed to tell anyone about the assistance they were compelled to provide. They would be under a gag order, and they would face heavy penalties if they failed to comply with it. Great. That's not even the worst part. Unlike Google and Verizon, most of these businesses and individuals lack the ability to isolate and turn over a target's communications. So they would be required to give NSA access to the equipment itself or to use techniques or devices, presumably provided by the NSA, spy devices, to copy and turn over entire communication streams and or repositories of stored communications, which would inevitably include vast quantities of wholly domestic communications. Fantastic. Sounds great. The NSA, having wholesale access to domestic communications on an unprecedented scale, would then be on the honor system to pull out and retain only the communications of approved foreign targets, of course. HPSCI leaders deny that the administration has any intent to use this provision so broadly. Of course, it's never abused, guys. Nothing to worry about. Supposedly, there is a single type of service provider that the government wants to rope in. But they didn't want anyone to know what that service provider was. So they hid the real goal by writing the amendment as broadly and vaguely as possible. But no worries, Americans. The administration isn't actually going to use all the power it's persuading the House to give it. I cannot overstate how mind-blowingly irresponsible that is. I don't think any administration should be trusted with an Orwellian power like this, one. But even if this administration doesn't plan to make full use of it, go ahead and fill in the blank. Yeah, the next one will, or the next one, or the next one. That's how it goes. There are certain powers a government should not have in a democracy. Well, that's proven to be fake and gay anyway. The ability to force ordinary businesses and individuals to serve as surrogate spies is one of them. Even if the targets are supposed to be foreigners, a power this sweeping will be abused. And then, of course, again, it's like, oh, these, you talk to somebody, oh, that person is designated a terror target now by the government. By the way, when a privacy advocate tried to get, what is it, Jim Himes, I'm not sure what this is here, to engage on this issue, here is the thoughtful and conscientious reply given by the ranking member of HPSI, a man who clearly cares deeply about civil liberties. Okay, someone said here, Jim Himes, he has a Ukraine flag there, so you know he's on the, you know he's moral and on the right side. And of course he's on, he's pro-Ukraine for all the right reasons, right? It's nothing wrong to be, you know, pro-Ukrainian, but I'm saying these people are are that for all the wrong reasons. So he replies here to someone, you do that, but life is really too short to engage with people who need to use bombastic absurdities like Stasi-like. Yeah, that's like, because that's not happening. I know exactly what is in there. Some of it's classified and none of it is remotely Stasi-like. Sell your nonsense elsewhere. Okay, he knows what's in there. That's good then. All right. The administration has already obtained FISA court approval to continue Section 702 surveillance until April 2025. According to the administration itself, that approval grandfathers surveillance for a full year, even if Section 02 expires. Good. All right. Well, at least they're going for Stasi and not saying it's some kind of Nazi thing. All right. Holy shit. Holy shit. Not good, ladies and gentlemen. Not what you want at this point. Oh, man. Full-on revolt is necessary just to kick these people out. Just dismantle these units, right? So I wanted to cover this thing with a little bit on... Because like, as this crazy stuff is happening, and as many people are struggling on many different levels, you know, to afford things, and people are struggling with depression, and everything's just kind of spiraling in many Western countries, right? There's energy problems, they're pushing the green agenda, as we saw. Inflation is out of control. Most attention is, you know, again, put on things like, well, what about Israel? You kind of think, what about giving Israel what it needs right about now? And I wanted to open that segment by showing you what Trump put out on his Truth Social. He said, unlike Biden, I would defend Israel from day one of my presidency. Oh, good. And he also said, Congress must pass unlimited aid to Israel to stop Iran. Unlimited aid. Think about that. Unlimited aid to Israel in order to stop Iran. What else do we have? What do we got? What do we got going on right now in some areas? Let's check in what's happening in some parts of America. Is that in Tel Aviv after Iran dropped some weird bioweapon? No, that's presumably in, like, I don't know, Philadelphia or something like that in the U.S. Will there be... What about unlimited aid to help Americans? I'm serious. Like, what about unlimited aid to help the American people? Right? Congress must pass unlimited aid to... Fuck you! Boomer! Fuck you! Fuck this guy. Oh, Biden is not doing enough. he's not even that. He's also like doing everything he can for Israel. And it's, you know, they go to these AIPAC meetings, and they go suck their, you know what, hard as I suck Israel's, you know what, harder than you, right? This is competition all the time. And if it was true that Biden didn't do that, it would be literally like his only one redeeming quality. It's like these other, you know, like Congress, you know, people who again, like they come from some ooga booga country, and now it's their ethnic interest supersedes that of Israel's interest. And so therefore, that's the reason why they're against, you know, AIPAC or the Israel lobby and stuff. So you could argue it's for the wrong reason. But yes, we just happen to align here because they're right on that issue. You know what I mean? And in fact, let me play this here. This is amazing. MSNBC, Ali Velchi, right? And isn't he, was he said he was a, he's a Muslim from Kenya or something, some shit like that. Again, one of the qualities that they get right here. He did a piece on how AIPAC was among the top 20 spenders in the 2022 midterm elections. Let's check this out, this piece here. But again, it's for the wrong reason, not maybe always for the wrong reasons. But they can criticize AIPAC because it goes against their ethnic, you know, brown alliance Palestinian interests. But when the same group or the same people or the same policies enforced by those same people, or when there's overlap with other activist groups, which lines up with the very same people that run things like AIPAC, but these lefties like Oli Velshi, these anti-white leftists, agree with them, then they will say nothing. Right? He agrees, right, with those kinds of, and I'll get to what I mean in a moment, but let's check out the clip first.
Let's talk about AIPAC, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. It was incorporated in 1963. For 10 years prior to that, it was known as the American Zionist Committee for Public Affairs. AIPAC calls itself America's pro-Israel lobby, and according to its website, it has over 3 million members across the country in regional chapters working to, quote, expand and strengthen the U.S.-Israel relationship, end quote. You may know AIPAC as being one of the biggest and most recognizable donors to many of the members of Congress in your state. But contributing to campaigns is a relatively new function of the organization. Before 2021, AIPAC did not endorse candidates nor give political contributions. Its focus was on lobbying elected officials, not actually electing officials. But in a dramatic shift in policy, AIPAC began directly funding candidates and spending big on races in 2021. AIPAC Political Action Committee, AIPAC PAC, filed something called a Statement of Organization with the FEC just in time for the 2022 election cycle, where it spent $50 million, including both direct contributions to candidates and outside spending like TV advertisements. According to AIPAC, it donated money to 365 candidates from both parties, including every single member of both Democratic and Republican leadership in Congress. 109 Republicans who voted against the certification of the 2020 presidential election in America received campaign contributions from AIPAC.
Because that's not the issue for them. They would love a Trump in too, because he's even harder than, as I said, on Israel. And by the way, I did, for any boomers in the audience, okay, we love our based boomers. When I say boomers, it's a mindset, okay? And Trump has that mindset. But anyway, the point is, the election deniers got money from AIPAC. Oh, that means AIPAC's, but no, that's nothing to do with because they don't care about that shit. It's hardcore Zionist Israeli Jewish interest first, and they don't care what else they do or whatever. However, that again, this is from a lefty point of view, but like however that undermines democracy or some shit, like they don't care about that. Get with the program, Ali.
AIPAC gave money to 342 members of the 118th Congress. The 2022 elections were the most expensive midterms in American history, with a total cost of $8.9 billion spent.
Yes.
Now, last year, AIPAC ranked 15th in total expenditure by a political action committee, according to data collected by Open Secrets. But take a look at the other funders that AIPAC is competing against for that title. Act Blue and Win Red. They are Democratic and Republican Party machines. Save America is Donald Trump's money-raising operation. The Conservative Club for...
Maybe it's more like Save Israel. Am I right?
Growth. Emily's List focuses on electing Democratic women to office. All of the PACs on this list are massively
very important with those the Democrat women's
domestic-focused ideological machines. AIPAC is the only organization in the top 20 whose interests are focused entirely on America's relationship to a foreign government.
How about that? A foreign country's interest scores among the top 20. Donors. Isn't that fascinating? I think something called, what's the act called? Maybe chat room is it? What's the, not only the Foreign Agent Act, which of course, then you go down the whole JFK rabbit hole and stuff. We actually talked a little bit about that in the Western Warrior show when we talked about the nukes Israel were trying to gain. But, part of that was of course, to, you know, blackmail politicians and all that stuff. Even Jewish author Seymour Hersh wrote about that in his The Samson Option, the book. Dimona, Venuno, all that, the whole travesty there. But apparently JFK also tried to get actually AIPAC to register as a foreign entity. Was it not the Jones Act? Is the shipping thing. What was the other act? Do chat remember? Oh, it's on the tip of my tongue. I can't remember now. But there's another act, basically. Like, oh, you're now in violation of that because you're... I mean, you know, the whole Pollard thing. It's just like with, you know, with the Trump... I didn't mean to go here, but like, man, I have to play the audio from it. I showed the footage in Western Warrior, but we got to play the audio. Jonathan Pollard, right? He spies on America. He was like, what was he, a naval officer or something like that in the U.S. He's born in Texas, and he spends, you know, many years in prison. Trump gets in. One of the last things Trump does is to pardon this Israeli spy who handed over information to Israeli intelligence services. And I think it was it Yitzhak, what's his name again? One of the presidents there. Anyway, he ordered Pollard to do this, and they turned over that part of that information, at least, to America's, you know, at the time, mortal enemy, the Soviet Union. But look at what Pollard did when he steps off the plane coming to Israel, right? Born in America, lived most of his life in America. What happens when it comes to Israel? Check this out.
It took 35 years to get here. An emotional moment for the former U.S. Navy analyst who served 3 decades in prison for spying for Israel.
He's kissing the ground when it comes to Israel.
Jonathan Pollard and his wife Esther arrived in Tel Aviv to a welcome from Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. The leader saying a Hebrew prayer of thanksgiving for the liberation of prisoners. Pollard had long voiced a desire to immigrate to Israel, which granted him citizenship. The espionage...
And didn't they do that like from when it was like in prison or some shit like that? They wanted this guy out forever. He's a national hero.
The affair was a rare strain.
Another the moment of our greatest ally here, folks.
And on U.S.-Israel relations for decades.
Yeah, a little bit of a strain, but that's about it. Like, go back to sleep, Goy.
Static. Be home at last. After 35 years.
Pollard was sentenced
coming home after 35 years. Did you hear that? All right, anyway, back to the... I didn't even... But that's just a point, right? Coming home. He's coming home. He's born in Texas, lived there most of his life. He's never even saw himself as an American. Jew, Israeli, Zionist, hands over that. His wife died, by the way, I saw, and he married some, like, super young woman. Anyway, back to AIPAC now.
Now, let's take a look at who benefits from AIPAC's largesse. Here are the top 20 recipients in Congress, the House and the Senate, of AIPAC money in the 2022 midterm cycle, according to Open Secrets. They're members of both parties. They come from every corner of the country with varying levels of experience in Congress. The Democrat Glenn Ivey of Maryland tops the list. He beat out fellow Democrat Donna Edwards in Maryland's House primary after AIPAC poured millions into pro-Ivey advertisements and mailers. Edwards was running for a second stint in Congress after serving during the Obama administration, where she voted present, not even a no, on a number of pro-Israel resolutions. So the money poured in against her. Not even an endorsement from Nancy Pelosi could save her. Michigan Democrat Haley Stevens unseated Democratic Representative Andy Levin. Here's what Levin had to say about that.
Now, listen to this here.
I'm really Jewish.
Yeah, no shit. No shit. Now they do this to say, it's not about Jews, you see, because now it's let's bring on this Jewish guy who also criticized AIPAC because he's pro-Israel, right? Or some sort of pro-Palestine. At least in verbal communication with the rest of the world. But listen to what he says here. And again, they can be against these types of, like a foreign entity, foreign interest group for another country, for another ethnic group, like all these things. Okay, like I'm with you, right? But then they also counter-signal, or I should say maybe better word choices. They attack when people point out, well, there's also other organizations that do other subversive things, such as advocating for white genocide and population replacement in Western countries. Well, then you see an Alev Elshi, he aligns with that, and then that's totally fine. So you can be against AIPAC because that serves against his ethnic group, you know, racial consciousness interest, which is fine. He can have that. But part of his job is then also to attack, shut down, and ultimately create a discourse which helps to silence and shut down other people that also have their own interests that they stand up for. See how that works? Back to the clip.
But AIPAC can't stand the idea that I am the clearest, strongest Jewish voice in Congress, standing for a simple proposition that there's no way to have a secure, democratic homeland for the Jewish people unless we achieve the political and human rights of the Palestinian people.
AIPAC spent $4 million against Levin. He lost by 20 points. When Michigan Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib, the only Palestinian American in Congress.
So here goes. So they take up a couple of these examples now, right? Kind of thing. Which again shows you then, ultimately, they just see him, if he's sincere or whatever, like as an enemy combatant, right? He's disposable, throw him to the side because he doesn't stand up for our ethnic interests, right? He's like a traitor. He's a self-hating Jew. Is that what they call him? But anyway, so now here's to our Muslim friends. Our anti-white Muslim friends.
Was censured by the House in early November over what some lawmakers called her rhetoric around the Israeli-Hamas war. 22 Democrats joined Republicans in that censure vote. 18 of those Democrats received campaign funds from AIPAC in 2022, totaling more than $1.1 million. By the way, for these six of them, AIPAC was their top contributor. A growing list of progressive lawmakers who are vocal in their criticism of the government of Israel and its policies.
There it is. Oh, it's just the government. Nothing to do with the ethnic interest that underlines it, you see.
Support for Palestinian self-determination have inspired AIPAC to spend even more. As progressive lawmakers.
So they stand up for Palestinian self-determination, but if white people want to stand up for their self-determination, then it's a crime, essentially.
Began calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. Slate reported that insiders expect AIPAC's 2024 spending to hit $100 million. In fact, United Democracy.
Oh my gosh, they're so suppressed after all. They totally don't have any money or power or influence or anything like
project,
that.
Which is a pro-Israel super PAC affiliated with AIPAC. Is already spending money on attack ads against Democratic Representatives Jamal Bowman of New York and Summer Lee of Pennsylvania. Lee has already got a primary challenger, as do Cori Bush and Ilhan Omar. Pro-Israel donors have already signaled that they are eager to primary Rashida Tlaib and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Congresswoman Lee already overcame AIPAC's financial influence against her once. She tweeted criticisms of Israel's treatment of Palestinians in 2021, but as a candidate, she affirmed Israel's right to exist. But that's not good enough. AIPAC spent nearly $3 million in the primary alone to defeat Lee, and they almost did. She beat Stephen Irwin, who is third on the list of money given to candidates by AIPAC in 2022, by less than 1,000 votes. And if Congresswoman Lee wants to keep her seat in 2024, she's going to have to do it all over again. She joins me in studio after this break.
So it's funny when they bump the camera like that. All right. So an Ali Velshi, let me underline my point again. An Ali Velshi will support or agree with white replacement and white genocide. So he won't say anything about that. That's fine. Oh, how do we switch? I heard something. What was the other? Oh, it's just a population replacement in Gaza that they're trying. It's just look, it's not comparable. We are not having massive amounts of bombs dropped on our heads yet. Let's see how this turns out. Maybe NATO bombs will rain on one of our countries these days. But still, but there's a slow grade civil war in our countries, and we've covered this when we talk about things like what's happening in Sweden, for example. At what number do you recognize that this is a war, right? When there's 50 dead, 500 dead, 5,000 dead, 50,000 dead, 500,000. At what point, right? This accumulates over the decades. As there's murders and rapes and crime and gang criminality, humiliation crime, robberies and all these kinds of things, which of course the destabilized new conditions of wonderful multiculturalism and diversity have brought us, right? But again, if we try to fight back against those things, well, that's really bad, you see. So let's talk a flashback here, but for newcomers. Here's a Jew here, Mark Potok of the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is, you know, in and of itself a joke, right? But they're a American 501 nonprofit legal advocacy organization that claim that they're specializing in civil rights and public interest litigation. Now, in this clip, you can see how on Potok's wall at his SPLC offices, he keeps track of the demographic transformation that's happening in the United States and in Europe. Look.
And my bosses insisted that we move out of the house for a week. You know, at one point, I was notified last year by a letter from a federal court.
You can see from 1920 up to 2000 at that time, and this is made, what, 13, something like that, how it's declining, right? Non-Hispanic white population, or non-Hispanic whites population of the U.S. population. And he has the same in Europe, as you can see over there, different European countries, where he's monitoring the declining white population. So again, I go back to Ali Velci. Is that a problem? Is that a, why are they doing this, right? Well, we obviously, to us, we know what the answer to that is. We know why they're doing this, right? But if we point it out, then no, you see, then now you're the bad guy because your opinions counteract those of mine. They agree with population replacement. They agree with white genocide, and they think that that's, oh, that's just diversity and multiculturalism. Well, in Gaza, they're just trying to bring in some new population. Yeah, gentrify a little bit with some, new Kushner-funded, Trump-funded real estate deals on the Gaza Strip. Where do you want to go with this? And then you have this, right? Report on highest linked NGO encouraging illegals to vote Biden called into question. Yeah, you think the RCM, the Resource Center, Matt Moros, a report claiming an NGO with links to the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society. So HIAS is once again poking its nose through the veil and revealing their shady, subversive, anti-white population replacement tactics. And yes, part of that is to import new voter bases in order to keep conservative right-wing forces out of power. And of course, then you can argue what those kinds of forces are and how efficient they would be and all those kinds of things. But the point is, they're meddling. That's what we're talking about. Not whether the other side that they're criticizing or trying to keep out of power is good enough or whatever. So HIAS is encouraging migrants in Mexico to vote for President Biden when they arrive in the U.S. And it's being called into question by Fox News' Bill Milugan. I'm extremely skeptical of this, Milugan said on Tuesday on Twitter. The flyer appears to be a word-for-word Google Translate copy and paste of a portion of the NGO's English website with Vote for Biden randomly added in at the end when it does not appear on the site. The translation is bad. Then you have a Buenvenidos spelled wrong and Todos con Biden added onto the flyer with a Biden logo. There's plenty of controversy with some NGOs, but this flyer seems fake or doctored even at first glance, he said. Oh, really? No. Interesting. Side by side, bad translation. Nothing about Biden appears on the website. It was ripped, pasted, and then Biden stuff added at the end. Oh, I see. It's okay. So it's called into question. Okay. So, all right. Is it fake? I remember seeing the reports on Twitter, right? The first one. Here it is. Oversight Project. Okay. Well, hopefully then it's nothing. But at the same time, who's doing it? Can we find out who it is? What's the reasoning? Here was the original tweet I saw. This was going around. It's like, yeah, 9.2 million views. I remember seeing it a few days ago. Breaking. Flyers distributed to NGO in Mexico encouraging illegals to vote for President Biden. Reminder for maybe they're implying that this account did it. Is that what they're trying to come up with? Right. These flyers were discovered by Real Muckcracker through the Resource Center Matamoros. I think it is. location, including the walls of a porta potty. They also appear to be handed out when illegal aliens use the RCM for assistance in coming to the USA. Is he saying that they are faking this? Is that what he's applying? Let's check it out. Because we know Hayas do this shit, right? They're part of, like, trafficking people up to the U.S. They're part of the invasion. At the end of the day, I don't think they care. It doesn't matter who they vote for. That's not the most important thing. The most important thing is that they're coming in, right? But is this a muckraker did this just to, like, to turn it into a Biden thing? Is that what he's saying? Which would be kind of interesting if that's true, right? Oh, let's ignore that it's just about Biden voting, not about the replacement. RCM founder Gabby Zavala implied to Real Muckraker that she wants to help as many illegals as possible before President Trump is reelected. Let's see what she
says. In all honesty, we're just trying to help as many people as possible for, you know, before Trump gets reelected. So.
And he probably will, too.
In all honesty, we're
okay. RCM builds itself as an operation which houses functions for the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, which helps illegal aliens to enter the United States. That's 100% true, right? Secretary Mayorkas is a former board member of HIAS, which received numerous grants from the Soros Open Society Foundations over the years. Okay, well, now do the Jewish interest part of this then. Okay, so is the Biden spin just the latest? Because this shit, of course, is obviously there. It's happening. This is not some, like, you know, nothing you can call into question. Oh, well, Hayas is not doing anything. They didn't do nothing. All right. They work closely with representatives from the U.S. and Mexican governments. RCM lobbies and advocates for more humane treatment of asylum seekers. Yeah, by just flooding them into the U.S., anyway, you can see her. So, okay, well, even if the Biden thing is called into question, it doesn't really change the overall, issue. But that is interesting that Information Liberation cover that. Muckraker, yeah, what does it say about them? Was there some shady shit about them? Respectfully, they say, do you have any theories as to whom have doctored these files? We have a hard physical copy of one obtained from the scene, said the porta potty. The thread includes videos of these flyers inside a porta potty at this organization's camp. So if they were doctored, whoever printed these would also have needed to hang these inside of the porta potty. Seems strange, unless they did it, of course. Furthermore, we were tipped off to this situation by a source in New York, currently working inside an illegal alien shelter, who told us exactly where to go to see this. This tip was sent to us weeks before physically being on the ground at the NGO witnessing this firsthand. Not sure, and I don't doubt you all got physical copies. I've seen the videos, but the text is pretty obviously cut and pasted, translated from part of their website with Biden stuff added on at the end of it, with multiple grammatical errors, misspellings. The source of those papers is what we need to find. I've reached out to the NGO director, and I'm looking into it. All right, okay. Well, regardless, doesn't mean the invasion is not happening. Which take us to Mayorkas and Hayas, of course. I did want to show you that real quick here, because, of course, as we said, the Senate ended up killing the articles of impeachment against Mayorkas. Guys, and this is the problem with you know, maybe the Muckraker account even, or maybe the Oversight Project or something like that, right? That they were like, they will kind of call, they will at least spell it. At least there's that, right? At least they spell out what Hayas actually means and make the link. They're like, wait a minute, what does this get to do with anything? Well, Mayorkas just happened to be Jewish. It's a coincidence. Has nothing to do with anything. There's no ethnic interest involved in this situation whatsoever. And Mayorkas is just totally a good boy. Nothing to do with the organized invasion of the United States or anything like that. The Senate made short work of the articles of impeachment against Homeland Secretary Mayorkas on Wednesday, ending the historical trial before it began in earnest. What was this? It was a digital lynching of a Jew? Or what was the headline again regarding Mayorkas that they dared to question if he had done a good job or not, when he's, like, actively involved in, like, the invasion of the United States? He was down at the Darien Gap. They're helping to fund this stuff. Hayas is there on the front lines. He's a former board member. He goes on and on and on. So they ended the historical trial before it began in earnest as the Democratic majority brushed aside goop efforts to prolong the dead-end process. House Republicans voted to impeach Mayorkas February 13th on their second attempt after failing at first to get the necessary votes. The Biden appointee became the first cabinet secretary to be impeached in nearly 150 years, but of course nothing happened. He's not reprimanded. He's not just, go ahead, sir. You're doing very, very good. Anyway, we don't have to go through all this. Not a big surprise. I told you that would happen. That would be a nothing burger. Told you that. See here. Lars Hagerbeck with an air over on Entropy says, if only the left and the right could agree on Israel, imagine the world we could live in. I've seen videos of Palestinians saying they'd happily leave Europe if they had a country to go back to. Yeah, I mean, how many is it from Palestine technically, right? It just angers me when you see so many of these people who are like willing pawns of, they're in our countries, you know, these Muslims, and they're raping, and they're in their gang crimes, and they're shooting our people in the face, like happened with Mikkel in Sweden, for example, and stuff. And the, you know, I don't know, maybe are they into politics? I'm sure they hate Israel, like on some instinctual level. They've probably been taught that at least from their parents or something. Who knows, right? But they're happy to be there as one of Barbara Spector's and David Schwartz and Robert Ashbery's and, Czarnecki's, pawns on the chessboard, right? They wouldn't even be there without the activism of some of those types of people that I just mentioned, those Jewish activists. And so they're happy to be their pawns and be in our countries and behave the way they're behaving. And they're not going down and joining, to fight Israel or anything like that, right? They hate us more than they hate Israel, unfortunately, it seems like. Maybe that's just due to proximity or something. I'm not sure. But I'm finding it increasingly impossible to find some, common ground with them, to be honest. If it's possible, okay, sure, great. But at the end of the day, you have to still go back home when the time is over. But yeah, no, obviously, again, that's why we criticize the war on terror and the 37 million people that have been driven out as a consequence of these neocon wars and stuff like that. And again, mostly the neocon movement is a Jewish movement. These are Jewish ethnic interests that serves Israel. That's what all this is about. So yeah, groups and organizations such as AIPAC need to be dismantled, and then they need to lose power and influence for anything to change in this picture. And we're all very well aware of that. But so you see, while we're fighting against that, now we also have to fight against the pawns, which you'd think would be on our side in our countries, when they're not. So speaking about innovation, did you guys see this? Over 1,000 Africans swarm New York City's City Hall over supposedly falsely promised green cards. Let's play this.
What is going on here? What is really going on here?
It's an invasion, madam.
What's going on here?
It's an invasion. And then you have judges in part of the country that are arming them, saying it's legal for these people to arm themselves. Then you have squatter rights extended to some of these people in some states, where they can now take other Americans' homes if they're not in those homes when they break into it. How about that? So there you go. So somehow they found out. Sam Parker says, our Jewish Secretary of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas, says we can't arrest and deport these African migrants. Our Jewish attorney, General Merrick Garland, agrees. Our Jewish Secretary of Treasury, Janet Yellen, says we can't afford to anyway. Meanwhile, our Jewish Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, wants to grant them amnesty along with all the Middle Eastern refugees he's creating through his wars for Israel. That's about right. That's about sums it up, sir. That's it. What was that again? Whitey got to pay. Yeah, exactly. Whitey's got to pay. Here we go. I'm not going to go. If this is more funny. This is some Holocaust scholar here. Holocaust and genocide studies. There's one. Well, there's two happening right now. One is in Palestine, and the other one is in Western countries. Yes, it's a genocide. If you don't know what a genocide is, go read up on the convention that the UN has in Article 2 on their website against the prevention of genocide. And you'll clearly see that at least three out of the five are being checked. I think four out of the five, if you take into account, if you recognize that the violence against us is kind of intentional or that it's driven that way. But anyway, get ahead of myself here. Dr. Waitman W. Bjorn, Holocaust and Genocide Studies, history professor, U.S. Army vet, single dad, grad at West Point and UNCH. I'm not sure what that is. On those classical cultural Twitter accounts, someone on here questioned why I would say that accounts like this one below are dog whistles for white supremacy. Okay, well, let's do it. He goes into it here. That's right. You should keep whining harder about white supremacy. It's hilarious. Where's the? Can I not see the thread? Did he hide that right away? How do you get to his other tweet? There was some hilarious ones in there. That's weird. Let me refresh that. Is it just because it's the one? Let me see if I change that. Can I actually see the whole thread? Anyway, it's basically like, oh, it's Europe. Oh, here it is. The second one. Here we go. This account has over 1 million followers and posts seemingly innocuous images of admittedly beautiful buildings. Of course, 99% of them are the creation of white Europeans located in Europe. See how that's a problem? This is a genocide scholar here, a Holocaust and Genocide Studies history professor. sir, you're doing it. You're underlining it by attacking our very culture and our institutions, the expressions of who we are in architecture. This is dangerous. It's really just white supremacy. Well, yeah. What if it is? You admitted yourself that they're beautiful. These things are beautiful. They're expressions of a race. White supremacy it is. Who cares? All right. Anyway, they're talking down to this ugly public art like dildos, disguised as, you know, or excuses made that, oh, it's just a checks notes Christmas tree. Just a Christmas tree. Don't worry. It's totally not a butt plug. Remember that? Was that Holland, or where was that again? Forget where that was. All right, anyway, he goes on. But this is how they pay their boat loans, presumably. Host of Holocaust Pod, the Holocaust History Podcast, a weekly podcast that looks at the Holocaust from a variety of perspectives. Yes, I'm sure it looks at the wooden doors, the swimming pools, the masturbation machines, the roller coasters, did I say electrified floors? The orchestras, the internal camp currency. I'm sure it looks at the theater productions that took place. What was the last one? Was it the midgets? The dwarf? Does he look? The question is, does he look into this? Does he look into the quadriplegic dwarfs' sex torture in the death camps?
גמדים, כמו שאמרתי. אז לקחו, היה אחד שם בדוח אדון לוי, או לוי, שהיה מה שאני קורא קוואדרופלג, זאת אומרת, גם הידיים שלו לא כל כך תפקדו, גם הרגליים. והביאו צועניה, זה כנראה עדיין כשהצוענים עוד נשארו אחד עוד פה ושם, השכיבו אותה על הרצפה, שמו אותו להזדבגות את
of course
גמד עליה וכולנו היינו צריכים לראות אסור היה אם מישהו היה מזיז את הראש לא רק תאומים יכול היה לקבל כדור
yes you have to watch
מהגרמנים אותו אדון לוי
died of the sex
גם נפטר תוך יום עכשיו מזה בכלל הוא היה כבר חולה מאוד זה אני לא יודע
the sex killer אבל היו לנו גם that's BBC there. Is that an actual, excuse me. is that a correct translation? Can we get that some, Anyway, Holocaust history podcast can investigate for us and find out. I'm sure they'd find out that, no, that's just disinformation. There's nothing to those crazy accounts, you see. It was really in my mind. How many death camps was he through? I don't know. Anyway. You can't ask any questions or you'll go straight to jail. You'll end up on lists so that they can capture you later and torture you with presumably quadriplegic dwarf sex to get back at you. All right. Moving on. Moving on. President Ibunga, good to see you, sir. Says, did you see this about Japan? Shut up. Shut up, Fox. Did you see this about Japan opening their borders to mass? Of course, yes. We covered it in the Western Warrior show. I was thinking about putting up on the main channels too, but yeah, I did. Japan to allow 820,000 new foreigners, workers to offset for a declining population. Build machines and robots then, Japan. Yeah, it's a travesty. That's what it is. And yes, in the Western Warrior show, Ubunga, check that out if you didn't see it yet, obviously, because I know you're in the member section. We talked about how they were saying that they needed something like, I forget the exact number, 7 million workers going up to like 2040 or something like that. Yes, they're getting ready. I mean, Abe was assassinated. A bunch of these people were ousted. All these political changes. You had external pressure from foreign interest groups and all that stuff. You had that, you know, other weird things like that. Remember that it came out. First she said she was Ukrainian Japanese, but then she turns out she was Jewish, right? Winning that beauty pageant in Japan. And apparently she gave it back because it was so much pressure. It's like, I guess, good for Japan, right? But yeah, no, it's a travesty. Millions of people they're going to bring in. And granted, they will start with like other Southeast Asian countries. They will go to, Thailand, Philippines, Laos, those kinds of countries in that area. And so at least they have that. It would be kind of like, oh, Sweden needs foreign workers. Let's bring in Norwegians and Finns and Germans or something. You know what I mean? Which is like, okay, it's not going to be dead. But it's what comes after, right? And it's the, oh, now that begins a slow transformation. And then there's other more. And then eventually, yes, it's from Afghanistan. Sri Lanka, Myanmar. Like Myanmar, I think, is still, Myanmar ethnicity-wise, somewhat close, right? Between Indian and, Japanese, something like that. Thank you, President Ubunga. I appreciate the support. But a real travesty. We might be able to see Japan change in real time, kind of how we're seeing Poland being changed in real time now as well. It's one of the stories, again, that we cover in the latest Western Warrior. Head on over to redassmembers.com. If you're not signed up yet, $10 a month. Support us. Sign up over there. Get access to some of the best stuff that we do. We talk about Poland, show some clips about there. Because of Donald Tusk coming in, LGBTQ stuff, migrants, it's shocking how fast it's going. So yeah, we're getting a couple of these countries now, just like real time, like in front of your face. I mean, Sweden was like, decades and decades, because the momentum and stuff was not there. And it was like in the 90s, then it's like, what's going on? And the 2000s, like, whoa, hold on a second. And the teens and now, and it's just insane, right? So everyone is aware of it, but it was a slower process. For countries like Japan and Poland, I think it's going to be like much quicker. All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Although it's depressing news. Paladin YYZ says, this one is for the greatest headlines in history. Migrant feasting on human leg. So complete, concise, and disturbing. I didn't need to click on it. That's the way I like my news. There you go. Thank you, Paladin. I appreciate that. Yeah, that's about sums it out. Oh no, don't worry. We're totally not going to let any cannibals around like that. Maybe they're creating them internally too. But yeah, feasting on human leg. Twitter took down the video. By the way, put up on our Red Ice account there. Okay, debanking. I got to get to the our free speech hero here too, because that'll be an important thing to cover. But real quick, Republican here, GOP, Attorney General, put a major U.S. bank on notice for alleged debanking of conservatives. And Fox News alleged, like, This has been happening for years now. We had our bank account shut down in 2019. Wells Fargo. If you're with Wells Fargo, please don't be with Wells Fargo. Don't be with any of these big banks. This is regarding a Bank of America. But they maintain, you see, that religious beliefs are not a factor in any account closing decisions. That's right. Because it just happens to be that the Obama administration, and through things like Operation Choke Point, they just gave these banks all the legal leeway they needed to shut down anybody they want for whatever repercussion, for whatever reason, without any repercussion. In fact, it was so that they intentionally offset, if you will, the responsibility. I believe it was under Department of Homeland statutes or something like that. And I forget the exact what the terms were for it, but it was essentially, if you have somebody at who's whatsoever that we might consider to be a terrorist or something like that, you are going to be held responsible. So they kind of forced many banks to go on this proactive route to, like, anybody that's slightly controversial with these issues or whatever, we must now shut them down, so that we won't held legally accountable. I forget if that was under Operation Choke Point or what it was, but yeah, this has been going on for decades. But now they're like, look, it's fine. It obviously needs to happen, and better late than never. All right, but it was, who was it here? Oh, I think it was Doug Morse. Yeah, he said, I don't have the tweet here, but yeah, he tweeted out me and Lana's handle, and it's just like, oh, these people didn't care shit when, like, Red Ice was shut down, you know, and now it's happening to all these normie conservatives. No, not quite, maybe, but they've normalized it. They have kind of turned up the momentum of debanking, and now it's just kind of it's just there. It's just rolling. Oh, they shut down. Oh, really now? Oh, there's no legal. And in fact, if you ask them, if you go to government agencies to ask them, can you need to investigate? What's the reason? Well, no, we don't need to tell you about anything. And you have no rights to participate in society. And why? Well, of course, we know that the reason for that is because we stand up for white European people. That's why. That's why we're being shut down. That's why we're outed from most mainstream payment processors and these kinds of things. By, again, all these activist groups, and be they the ADL or the SPLC or some other little shit-lib anti-white group or organization or NGO or whatever the hell it is, they have enough sway, power, and influence, which allegedly doesn't exist, right? Disproportionately Jewish, they stand up for Jewish interest, but they don't have that interest. So when we point out that they have that power, they prove that to you by shutting down your bank accounts. Because they don't have that power, it's just imaginary, you see? And say, oh, you don't want to be invaded and replaced? We need to silence these people here. Pronto. All right. Okay, let me see here then. We got to do... Yeah, oh, here it is, exactly. Here it is. There's Doug Morris, right? Radio Free Northwest. He says, they couldn't care... And it's regarding this story, right? The Attorney General... they couldn't care less when it happened to Henrik and Lana, but when Bank of America messes with one of the people who are supposed to be a protected class, then it's in violation of the Constitution. The American Just Us system. That's right. Thank you, Doug, for giving a shout out to us there. I appreciate that. Okay. Here it is, right? So here, now we'll get to our story here about our new free speech hero just dropped, ladies and gentlemen. Senior NPR editor Uberliner, his name is Yuri Berliner, I guess it is, Yuri Berliner, has been suspended from the public radio network he served for 25 years after sharing concerns about bias in the free press. He said, with declining ratings, sorry levels of trust, and an audience that has become less diverse over time, the trajectory for NPR is not promising. Two paths seems clear. We can keep doing what we're doing, hoping it will all work out, or we could start over with the basic building blocks of journalism. We could face up to where we've gone wrong. News organizations don't go in for that kind of reckoning, but there's a good reason for NPR to be the first. We're the ones with the word public in our name. With much love, Yuri Berliner. Peabody Award-winning senior editor at NPR. And it's like, okay, sounds reasonable, right? Sounds pretty good. What's going on here? You know, what's happening? I saw it on Twitter. Everybody's talking, oh my God, NPR. Let's attack NPR, everybody. NPR editor Yuri Berliner resigns after a bombshell expose reveals network's pervasive left-wing bias. And it's like, yeah, I can agree with that, but wait for it, right? And it's not in this piece, but again, this will be a little bit more here for you in terms of, it won't be the full story, but it will be part of the story of what happened, right? NPR correspondent Yuri Berliner, who was suspended without pay after calling out the radio's broadcasters of rampant liberal bias, resigned on Wednesday and took a parting shot at the network's controversial CEO. I'm resigning from NPR, a great American institution where I've worked for 25 years, Berliner wrote on his ex social media account on Wednesday. I respect the integrity of my colleagues and wish for NPR to thrive and do important journalism. They haven't done that for years, but okay. Berliner added that he cannot work in a newsroom where I'm disparaged by a new CEO whose divisive views confirm the very problems at NPR I cite in my free press essay. Berliner was referring to Catherine Mayer, or Marr, the chief executive at NPR, who has come under fire for a series of woke social media posts in which she criticizes Hillary Clinton for using the term boy and girl because it was erasing language for non-binary people. Mayer also appeared to justify looting in 2020 during the Black Lives Matter protests. So this is like, what, standard progressive left-wing idiocy shit here, right, so far? What spurred it to, like, all of a sudden, oh my God, what happened with NPR? What spurred that, right? Anyway, saying it was hard to be mad about the destruction. In 2018, she wrote a post denouncing then-President Trump as a racist before deleting it. Ooh, couldn't even do that. Look, I agree with much of the criticism, so let me preface by saying that like, yes, they deserve to be harangued for their opinions. And in fact, I didn't have time to do it because it was so tight just before I came on, but we'll see if we can do it for Friday. I wanted to do a quick, maybe compilation or something on the worst NPR headlines. Right, when they go after white people and Western civilization bad and are racist, are not, they don't understand that these white marble statues were really painted in colors, and so therefore the racists are bad and wrong. Anti-colonialization, or all the usual stuff, right? America's more diverse than ever, and it's really great, but how do we prevent white people now from running anything? You know they're there. I know they're there. We've covered a lot of them over the years, right? Oh, the free speech is a problem. And, you know, they are all there. I'm sure of it. I just have to dig them out, that's all. I just have to find them. On Tuesday, NPR spokeswoman Isabel Lara said in a statement that Marr was not working in journalism at the time and was exercising her First Amendment right. Interesting. So some people still have that then. Fascinating. To express herself like any other American citizen. And well, here she is, right? And then you realize it's a little bit of that, like, a white woman bad, kind of thing. Like, look, don't get me wrong. She deserves to be criticized. And NPR is a shitlib anti-white outlet. But the criticism, it's not that it's all for the wrong reason, but what triggered it with Berliner, as we'll look in a moment, is for the, in my view, for the wrong reason. Right, what finally made the camel's back break? Right, what was the straw? How did that look? Before we talk about that, here's a couple. So you have a lot of the usual suspect here coming out of the woodwork. Right, you have Christopher Rufo, boosted by Elon Musk. You have this guy I don't know, Chris Brunette. I think that's Canada. Again, some of them make good point. Right. Vocal Distance, Vivek Ramaswamy. You have Maze. Have I heard of that account? I think I might have heard of Maze before. Libs of TikTok, Ian Miles Chong. Charles Murray joining us. End Wokeness. There we go. My End Wokeness. You got to have that in there. Matt Taibbi, more End Wokeness. Again, here's Elon Musk boosting that tweet I just read from the Free Press. Dinesh D'Souza joins in here. Anyway, you get the point, right? You get the point. A lot of the kosher conservative right. Let's listen to a couple of clips here. Catherine Mayer says the number one challenge in her fight against disinformation is the First Amendment in the United States. Interesting. Wasn't she the one who just said she was exercising the First Amendment? So again, don't get me wrong. A lot of criticism is valid, but we'll get to it, right?
The number one challenge here that we see and is, of course, the First Amendment in the United States is a fairly robust protection of rights. And that is a protection of rights both for platforms, which I actually think is very important that platforms have those rights to be able to regulate what kind of content they want on their sites. But it also means that it is a little bit tricky to really address some of the real challenges of where does bad information come from,
yes,
and sort of the influence peddlers who have made a real market economy around it. The number one challenge here that we...
Yeah, so, you know, as usual, right? Here's another one, right? She says, as CEO of Wikipedia, she took a very active approach to disinformation.
We took a very active approach.
I know, the Atlantic Council. If you don't know about that, we've talked about them on and off for years.
To disinformation.
Shitty organization.
Misinformation coming into not just the last election, but also looking at how we supported our editing community in an unprecedented moment where we were not only dealing with a global pandemic, we were dealing with a novel virus, which by definition means we knew nothing about it in real
time. Vaccine was fine. We shouldn't worry about that. But the virus, that's the bad guys.
And we're trying to figure it out as the pandemic went along. And so we really set up in response to both the pandemic, but also in response to the upcoming U.S. election and as a model for future elections outside of the U.S., including a number that are happening this year, obviously went through yet another Israeli election. Model was around how do we create sort of a clearinghouse of information that brings the institution of the Wikimedia Foundation with the editing community in order to be able to identify threats early on through conversations with government, of course, as well as other platform operators to understand sort of what the landscape looks like.
Okay, so you get the idea. Excuse me, sip water there. You get the idea of some of the things that she's talking about. And there's a couple more clips here we can play. The new CEO of NPR is a part of a rising cohort of affluent left-wing female. I'm surprised he didn't say white, right, because of Rufo. Because usually it's kind of like, they're kind of, look, I don't agree with her, but you do have this kind of, oh, why white liberal women are the worst. You know, here's another care. That is part of it too, right? But in fact, I mean, again, I'm not a big fan of this woman for obvious reasons. If you go to her Wikipedia page, some of the categories that she's listed on, I guess I could show them to you as well as we look at them. American officials at the United Nations, Atlantic Council, right? All these globalist undermining institutions, UNICEF, People, World Bank, People, NPR personality, diversity management people, Council on Foreign Relations, right? Right. So it's like, yes, I agree with the criticism, right? The new CEO of NPR is part of a rising cohort of affluent left-wing female managers who dominate, is that human rights or is that, where's the other one? No, that's human rights, yeah. Human rights and DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. They are the matriarchs of the American longhouse. They value safety over liberty, censorship over debate, and relativism over truth. Christopher Rufo writes there. We got to take that. Why is all these people using that term all of a sudden? I see it everywhere now. And the fact that he picks it up means it's probably time for people who think it's cool to use it to stop using it. But anyway, all right. No, it's not some. They're not Norse pagans, these people, if that's the reference. Otherwise, I don't know what it is. Here's another one. NPR CEO Catherine Mayer. Wikipedia editors aren't focused on finding truth. There's a couple of some. Let's her.
One of the most.
Let's have her say it.
Significant differences, critical for moving from polarization to productivity, is that the Wikipedians who write these articles aren't the actually focused on finding the
truth. You know they're going to get citizenships. Facebook has their own courts of human rights, or what was it? you're going to have digital citizenships soon enough. But anyway, I'm just. Just dawned on me when she says Wikipedians. Ugh.
Trish. They're working for something that's a little bit more attainable, mm-hmm. which is the best of what we can know right now. And after 7 years there, I actually believe that they're onto something. That for our most tricky disagreements, seeking the truth and seeking to convince others of the truth isn't necessarily the best place to start. In fact,
yes.
I think...
Of course.
I think our reverence for the truth might have become a bit of a distraction that is preventing us from finding consensus and getting important things done. Now, none of that's to say that the truth isn't important. The truth obviously exists. It's at the core, or the search for the truth is at the core of some of our greatest human achievements.
Well, I agree, Serge, but what if when you find it, do you implement it? Or if it's an inconvenient truth, do you just move on and keep searching for the truth? Because I see a lot of that too, which of course is bad, right?
Animate.
Look, if you have new information that changes your position, sure, that's fine. Then you need to adjust accordingly. I'm not saying you should deny it, but whatever. But a lot of these people are like, it could be anything. Anything could be anything. Oh, that's your truth. This is my truth. Like, no, there's one objective truth. Like, that's perspective. Like, okay, you might see things from a different angle than me because, you know, where you are in relation to something. But the truth is still what the truth is. Anyway, I'm digressing. This is not what this is about.
And inspire us to do, learn, and create great things. But I think in our messy human hearts...
Here it comes,
we right. also know that the truth is something of a fickle mistress.
Yes.
And that the beauty of the truth is actually...
I knew it!
...often in the struggle. It's the reason that we have so many sublime chronicles of the human experience, because there are so many different truths to be explored. And so in...
But that's not truths. Those are... That is just experiences that they're exploring.
In this spirit, I know that the truth exists for each of you in this room.
Each of
you. It also probably exists for the person sitting next to you. But the thing is, the two of you don't necessarily have the same truths. And this is because for many of us, truth is what we make.
And not physical either. What would be the right term here? It's about objectivity, right? Relativism. It's all relative. Everything's relative to something else, and we can't really know for sure, right? So it's not moral relativism. That's obviously part of what they're pushing as well. But it's more like, relativism is also like in your, like in your physical reality, right? That's why these people are like such big fans of like going down to the smallest particle and splitting everything and down to the, and then you realize there's nothing there. It's empty. And in fact, it becomes whatever when you're looking at it, it becomes something. But when you look away, it doesn't even exist. Is that the pinnacle of like scaled down minimalism? Of the search for God is that where we've reached nothingness. There's nothing there. We just stare into an empty abyss, and then we claim, "Well, it is whatever it is. I think it is." And when I look at it, it changes it.
We merge facts about the world with our beliefs about the world. Each of us has our own truth, and it's probably a good one. It's based.
Oh, it's probably a good one. Okay, well then, who supersedes the others? Then fight. 3, 2, 1. Fight. Anyway, you get the point. They're going after her and NPR really hard right now. And it was triggered by a a wave of like just coordination by kosher right-wing accounts, right? And then the question is, what happened? What triggered that? And we'll get to that in a moment here. Let me just take these before we lose them here. Motown 88 says, for your baby fund. Well, thank you. The world needs more beautiful children. Of the light. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Or maybe it's Madam Motown 88 or to tell. Thank you. Appreciate that very much. Yeah, we're almost at We got some generous actually donation through checks and the Cash App and stuff. So we're at like 10%, which is great. So thank you, sir. I appreciate that. What I'll probably do is I'll try to add those up so we keep good track of all of those, and we'll see where we're at. But yeah, thank you. We'll probably mention that Friday a little bit more, but I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Motown. Thank you for the support on that too. I know everyone is not supportive of that, but that's fine. Not everyone has to be. It is what it is. it's the choice we've made, and we're moving forward. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Red Pill 3D says, thank you, Henrik. Thank you, Red Pill. Appreciate that. And we got, what do we have here? We have Drum and Bass World says, what happens when they debank you? Do you have to take all your money out within some time limit and find some alternate bank? Yes. We had to, that's basically it. Your accounts will close, you know, this date. I forget how much time they gave us, like 2 months or something like that, a month. I don't know. Some people's accounts, they've just like frozen and stuff. But I guess that technically, not that that's the rule anymore, but there has to be some like legal reason for that or whatever. Or like, oh, you're a suspect, or, you know, like to freeze your shit, you know. But in this case, it's just a letter. Oh, we've decided to close your bank account, and we can't tell you why. And then you contact a government agency, which is supposed to help you with accountability of these kinds of things. And they just say, ah, sorry, we can't help you. And the bank doesn't have to tell you. And fuck you, kind of thing. That's it. Then you have to try another one. And maybe you're denied. And then you have to try another one. And maybe they will kick you off after a while. Great feeling when you get those letters. You've been bad. You've been naughty. You have bad opinions. How dare you stand up for white people? We're going to shut down your bank. We're going to debank you. President Obunga says, it's crazy because for a while we saw efforts in, say, places like Poland, Hungary, Japan, to say no to the process. Obviously talking about immigration and opening the borders here. But that seems to have fizzled out. It does. And again, enough, whether it's assassination like in Japan, Abe was not by any means perfect on that front, as far as I understand the situation with him. But there's other people that have replaced over time, external pressure, and then they slowly just kind of acclimatize and replace. In Poland, it's obviously like, here's the EU guy, Donald Tusk, coming in, with the intention of like, oh, are we going to radically transform Poland, kind of thing. How the hell did he get elected? That's the other thing, right? Was that voter fraud? I didn't follow that. We have a Polish connection on Twitter. I'm going to invite him to talk about the situation in Poland. And in fact, Lana had a guest from Japan, Hunaki or something. I forget what her name was now. But we were talking about it just the other day. And like, yeah, she would be good to get back on the show to talk about that, actually. So that's a good tip. President Obunga here to finalize or to finish off his super chat here says, too bad they aren't able to learn from the West. I know, that's the thing. We played a clip with some girl in Japan. She was just like, oh, as long as it doesn't affect me, it's okay. And it's like, you're not paying attention. And you realize many of them are not. Some of them are, obviously, but most of them are not. No. They're comfortable, and it's as long as it doesn't affect me, and it's like the first decade, maybe it won't, but eventually it will. I wish I had visited Iceland 10 years ago before it opened up. Still, Iceland is still fine. I mean, it's still fine. There's beginning problems, but like nothing compared to other Nordic countries, especially Sweden. Time to go to Japan to see it before. Yeah, I agree. I've always wanted to visit Japan, and I've not been to Iceland yet, so that's one of the countries I have on my bucket list, and I intend to see it. If nothing else, you have to go there when it's time to liberate it. How about that? That's the time to visit. That's when we'll have the most fun. Thank you, President Obunga. Good to see you, sir. In reality, it says, hail, Henrik, been with you since 2008. Holy smokes. Shit. Thanks for your tireless service to our people. Thank you. P.S. I need one of those hats. Well, you can order one soon. We're going to have them coming in. Hopefully, I don't know, it's hard to say, but we're putting in some orders here, so we should get the shop up and running here soon. Thank you, appreciate that. Thank you for the support as well. Great that you've been with us for that long too. That's awesome. Thank you. In reality, Michael57DE, good to see you as well. What a shame, such a pretty woman, so filled with anti-white ugliness. Hail Henrik, hail the gods. Yeah, exactly. I know. I was looking at her like early love Mayor Marr, like Bill Marr, same last name, but as we know, they take our names, right? Yeah, another, you know. Pretty woman. Does she have, did she say any kids? Is curious here. Children? parents. She's 40 years old. Probably not then. They don't always list it, but probably not. She's too busy with her career. She'll just pour those genetics down the drain. But again, that's part of the process. Look, if these people are if they succumb to the propaganda and liberalism, is there genetic propensity for that? Maybe. And if so, them not then continuing those vulnerabilities and weaknesses to those external pressures that ultimately will lead to your, you know, selecting yourself out. Is that too complicated a way of saying it? Do you see what I'm saying? Basically, she won't have kids. She'll take herself out of the gene pool. And if there's any propensity then for her to be subjected to those very ideas that indoctrinates her with those things that prevented her from getting her kids, then we'll ironically weed those out of our gene pool. See what I'm saying? So here's Yuri Berliner. And it's interesting because in the categories, they usually list early section and it just doesn't say there. NPR, American journalist. And you even there, you have to like really find good, like if you find some white nationalist or something, you put in their name, immediately Google is like, here's his name, go to Wikipedia, here's all the dirt that the intelligence services who edit Wikipedia have said about them, and they are a racist and white nationalist, and they're anti-Semitic, and they were white power, you know, goes on and on. This guy, like, does he even have a Wikipedia? It's like he's the senior editor at NPR for like 20 years, and like I barely find his Wikipedia. Like, anyway. Early life and education. Berliner was born in 1956 as the only child of a lesbian rights activist, Eva Kolisch, and photographer and artist Gert Berliner, who married in 1948 and divorced in 1959. Gert's parents were captured by the Gestapo, sent to Auschwitz concentration camp, and executed in 1943. Yuri graduated from Sarah Lawrence College. Okay, so tell me he's Jewish without telling me he's Jewish. I think mission accomplished right there. So, good side here. Information liberation. Chris Menahan, a lot of good stories. He called my kind of initial hunch. Right, I saw this story. There's an attack on NPR. This guy is resigning. He's fired. Barry Weiss is picking him up. I'm like, is there something with Israel here? Is there something with like some Palestine, Israel, free diversity of opinions? Is there not sufficiently pro-Israel at this outlet? That's basically it. It's not the only reason. Granted, there are other reasons, but that's most likely what ultimately triggered Yuri Berliner going in this area. So here's your free speech hero here, ladies and gentlemen. He's the latest martyr here, right? Barry Weiss's free speech martyr, Yuri Berliner, wants FBI and police to spy on pro-Palestine activists. There we go. Got it. Yuri Berliner reposted Walter Russer Mead when he said, one hopes a lot of FBI and NYPD types will be in attendance. Also, press taking pictures and getting names. Opportunities like this are hard to come by. And this is in reference to a tweet by Barak Ravid, who says, a club in New York, The End, is holding what is called Intifada Fundraiser tonight. The invitation includes a video of the Hamas attack on Israel and the tearing down of the border fence, which led to the massacre of hundreds of Israeli civilians. So he reposted that. Oh, so he wants FBI and NYPD involved? Interesting. NPR editor Yuri Berliner, who Barry Weiss's free press is pushing a free speech, is being pushed as a free speech martyr, shared a tweet of hoping that the FBI and NYPD were spying on pro-Palestine activists and pushed the 40 beheaded babies hoax. Here's a reply. This is a decent account. I've seen this a few times. Here's his letter of resignation to the NPR. Let's see what he said. Disparaged. What was the language here? I'm resigning from NPR, a great American institution where I've worked for 25 years. I don't support calls to defund NPR. So he still wants them to be funded with, I thought it was mostly donations. Is it a taxpayer? thing, right? Is it like it is in Sweden and the UK? I didn't think it was like that in the States. There was private donations. Anyway, I could be wrong on that. I respect the integrity of my colleagues and wish for NPR to thrive and do important journalism, but I cannot work in a newsroom where I'm disparaged by the new CEO. Okay, we saw that, right? Whose divisive views confirm the very problems at NPR that I cite in my free speech press. You demanded the FBI arrest people you don't like, repeated deranged atrocity propaganda hoaxes, demanded NPR and other media do even more censorship for your precious Israel, and demanded people to be fired for the past social media post as you violate NPR's own policies on that. Fascinating. And of course, it's, you know, receipts given here by Squirrel. As you can see, that's the one we saw. He reposted the 40 beheaded sidewalks, 6 million sidewalks. There's an unspoken consensus about the stories we should pursue and how they should be framed, he says at Barry Weiss's Free Press. It's frictionless, one story after another, about instances of supposed racism, transphobia, signs of the climate apocalypse, Israel doing something bad, and the dire threat of Republican policies. That's meant highlighting the suffering of Palestinians at almost every turn while downplaying the atrocities of October 7th, overlooking how Hamas intentionally puts Palestinian civilians in peril and giving little weight to the explosion of anti-Semitic hate around the world. So basically, yes, there it is. All right. Well, that's all I need. Okay, there we go. Confirmed. It was the camel that broke. I'm sorry. The straw, right, that broke the camel's back was not actually a straw. That's what I'm getting to. It was a BDS sign that broke a rabbi's back. That's what did it for Yuri Berliner. And that's why I wanted to make that compilation, right? Of just showing just how disgustingly anti-white an outlet like NPR have been over the years. Anti-Western, anti-colonialism, racism, blah, blah, blah. BLM is great. You know, shit on whites. Because they're all there. You know they're all there. But ultimately, all those things were tolerated. Granted, he brings up some of them, like all these racism charges and stuff, and he's right on that. I agree on those things. But the point is, it was not until it was his own ethnic group and his own ethnic interest. And I don't blame him, you know, in a way, right? That's fine. Even like, this is why End Wokeness, right, who supposedly is Jewish and lives up TikTok, Shia Raychick is Jewish. That's when they come out of the wood, and that's really when they put their foot down. They might show you some of the woke stuff and the trans madness and blah, 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 all those kinds of things, right? But don't counter-signal then people that do the very same thing that you do, right? When we then stand up for our ethnic interest, then these people would swiftly put that down, obviously. And that's the problem, right? So anyway, so my hunch was confirmed. Let me see here. What is this? Lake? Let me see. Where is it here? Just as Barry Weiss quits the New York Times after hilariously claiming they weren't pro-Israel enough, Berliner quits NPR after hilariously claiming they're not pro-Israel enough. Exactly. And then he's in with her outlet, right? His retweeting lies and disinformation in support of Israel's genocide campaign goes directly against NPR's social media policies, but somehow he's the victim. Weiss's follow-up Berliner stunt with an article from Eli Lake smearing Tucker Carlson for criticizing Israel. In this propaganda piece, Lake attacked Carlson as Noam Chomsky in a bow tie. He doesn't have a bow tie anymore, though. And insisted he's wrong when he asserts that Israel and America are no better than their enemies. Carlson now proudly apologizes for evil and calls it the truth, Lake claimed, adding, I look forward to his next dispatch praising the gleaming shopping malls of Tehran. Ugh. Ooh. Be sure to check out Weiss's free press for the latest dispatches from Tel Aviv. That's right. There you go. That's it. Another BDS sign that breaks a rabbi's back. 6 million straws. That's right. Holy shit. All right. So you get it. I had a hunch. I had a hunch, and it was immediately confirmed. Amazing how that works. Sith22 says, I have an excellent article regarding NPR written by hardcore communists that should really take the time, if you will permit me to post a link. Absolutely. Yeah, just dump it in the normal chat there, Sith, or send it, and I can do Friday, I might do, because I'm going to wrap up here. I'll probably try to do a compilation. I'll be able to have time for that properly later tonight or tomorrow. And just pull out some of the, you know, the best ones. So if you have it, Sith, please send it to, or did you send it in the other, let me see here. Oh, sorry, you might have sent it here in the next one. Let me see here. Okay, yeah, Sith said that, and then there's a follow-up here I think I missed. Hang on, Sith. Yeah, here we go. One of two. An excellent article describing NPR propaganda written by hardcore communists who think they don't go far enough. Exactly, it's always that, right? Remember, the enemy of my enemy is not my friend. That's right, it's my enemy's enemy, and you should study tactics and adapt accordingly. Okay, interesting. Current affairs. A link to that. NPR is not your friend. Okay, good stuff. Thank you for sending that. I'll save that then, and we'll include that in the little compilation, and hopefully we'll cover that Friday. If nothing else, I think maybe Western Warrior would be good as well, but we'll cover it here. We'll pull out some of the best ones and just show you, just to emphasize that point again of how long a Yuri Berliner kind of tolerated all of that, and that it was not, it wasn't any of those things that ultimately made him come to the decision that he made. It was ultimately Israel, and therefore I'm not sure how left-wing this guy is, but presumably 20 years with NPR, I mean, it would be a kind of a given. It's only in the last, really, year or half a year, some of these people, that they're like, well, me and multiculturalism, it's not good anymore. Will he criticize Hayez and the Barbara Spectors and the Anita Kahanes and the, you know, will you go in that direction? No, they won't. Will you talk about Mayorkas and these groups, right? Jewish Family Fund, Israel, where do we stop, right? No, he won't. It's just bad now. All right, thank you, Sith22. I appreciate the link there, too. I'll look through that in proper detail here, so we can include that in our compilation as well. Okay, I think that's it. I think we're caught up everywhere. Thank you, guys, for donos. I appreciate that. That's always kind. Thank you for supporting the show. Thank you for watching today. As well, and we'll round out here with what do we got here? We gotta do a little plug. Is that the latest? It's not. Gotta refresh that. So we have our latest executive producers in there before we wrap up here. All right. So obviously, as we normally do, we do like to plug our member section at the end of the show. RedIceMembers.com. Again, a fantastic Western Warrior just went up right there for you guys. So please head on over there and enjoy some of the good stuff that we do, some of the best production, I'd say, that we do. And some of the stories are a little bit more focused and concise and really kind of package it very nicely for you guys, I think. So it's well worth it, $10 a month. But again, if you get a longer sub, it gets cheaper per month as well. So we have from 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 1 year, all the way up to 2 years available. And obviously it's almost, I think it comes to like 35% off if you get a 2 year subscription. You can also get it on Odyssey, Subscribestar, and Locals. And of course over there it's instantaneous. Unfortunately, one of the downsides from being censored and banned from, debanked banned from most of the larger payment processors, is then we have to work with workaround methods. We have a donor box widget on the site where you can sign up, but we have to manually activate your account on redicemembers.com. So if it can take up to 24 hours. And so we thank you for your patience for that, as well as we activate those manually. We are working actually on a plugin, though, that is going to hopefully last. We'll see how long it lasts. You never know about those things, but hopefully we'll be there. So we're working on that. So all that is automized over on redicemembers.com as well. All right. Also then, thank you to our executive producers, T. Lothrop Stoddard, V. Miller, Resin Revolt, Good Luck Lap, Jake, Red Pill Rundown, French 47, Mark Smith, we have No One Jeebs, President Obunga, good to see you in chat today, sir. Mongoose, we have William Fox, Angry White Soccer Mom, The Second Wanderer, Operation Werewolf, The Ride Never Ends, Dilbob, Last Place Simp, Joseph Hart. We also have Purple Haze, Rex Ballington, Commie Combo Deal, The Dearborn Toxic Event, Brendan Anthony, Penelope 7 USA, Bertrand Comparet, Dixie Drone Force, Arctic Wolf, and Europe Awake. Thank you to our executive producers. Then we have our producers, Mr. Walker 696, Johansson, Leroy Dumond, Snarkpup, Eyes Open, Mr. Lemry, Yuri New, Obadiah Hexwill, Perfect Brute, Single Action Army, Lord H.P. Lovecraft, Trevor, Der Schwabe, Sonata for Violin, ExposeFlyers.com, Whitewater Rafting Fan, and our latest over there as a producer is Jetfire. Thank you, guys. We appreciate you. If you want to get one of those, you can get it at redhatmembers.com. You can also upgrade on Subscribestar or Odyssey if you're over there. I don't think we have it on Locals. I gotta look into that. I don't think it's on Locals. But again, if you want a shout out at the end of the show, some resources our way, that's a great way of doing it. Even if you have a, you know, a business website, something like that, it could be a good good place to put it in as well. You can always write to us if you have a specific idea about something. I don't know, a little bit more longer, maybe more involved. Take a little ad spot, I guess, for you guys as well. If you have some of your own businesses and like to plug it or something like that. I don't know. We're working with different ideas here. All right. Anyway, double check here. Thank you guys so much again. We'll be back here then soon. We have a short video Lana did we're working on. We also have, as I said, we do have a couple of interviews that we got to get done and recorded and finalized and finished and put up on the website. But we'll be back on Friday. I think next time, unless I finish the shorter video tomorrow, we'll be back with Night Nation Review. Nick from Night Nation Review will join us, kind of guest hosting, sitting in with us, me and Lana on Friday. So tune into that live again every Friday at usually 5 p.m. Eastern. That's 11 p.m. Central European time. But that's it for us today. Again, merch is coming. Hats, T-shirts. We're going to do some mugs. We have some other ideas and some other stuff we're going to do as well. So that's in the pipeline as well. Have a great rest of your Odin's Day, ladies and gentlemen, or enjoy an early Thursday, depending on where you are. And we'll see you guys later.
Thank you for watching. Go to redicemembers.com and sign up for exclusive members content. Don't miss our latest shows, interviews, and other videos only for subscribers. You can also become a member by signing up at subscribestar.com/redice. Get full access and help support our work. See you on the other side.